Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here again to unpack complex ideas, find those surprising insights you need. Today, we're pushing off again with our RAFT to recovery.
Yeah.
That's our framework, you know, for navigating challenges. We've left the dangerous shore and, well, we're now anchored, firmly anchored on the island of grounded mindfulness.
That's right. And if you've been following along, you'll know we keep coming back to the body. It's where so much experience happens.
Yeah, the good and the bad, including the, well, the ouch of suffering, as you put it.
Exactly.
So today it's chapter 12 of the REFT framework. The focus is mindfulness of the body's impermanence.
Hmm.
What does that actually mean for us? How does looking at our own sort of changing nature offer a pathway, especially for recovery?
Well, what's really fascinating, I think, is how this whole contemplation invites us to genuinely perceive the body, to really see it.
Okay.
We've touched on this before, looking at the body through the elements earth, water, fire, air, you know, understanding its changing nature that way.
Right, the building blocks.
Yeah. But this practice, it pushes us further. It encourages us, maybe even prompts us, to confront the universal truths, birth, aging, illness, death.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because you hear that aging, illness, death, and you might think, gosh, that sounds grim.
It does sound daunting initially, yeah.
But the sources we looked at, they suggest it's actually a profound path towards freedom, liberation.
It's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Totally. Like the story of the Buddha, even with a life of, you know, extreme luxury, he couldn't ignore it. He saw aging, sickness, death all around.
And he found this attitude, this sort of willful ignorance in others, unfitting, that's the word used.
Yeah.
He saw dissatisfaction even with all the privilege.
Right, which raises a big question then.
Definitely. If life involves suffering and nobody's really immune, one source says something like, it's very hard to find anyone free of mental illness, even for a moment, apart from those who've overcome their ingrained patterns they're craving.
Or even for a moment.
Yeah. So if that's the case, what's the right response?
Mm.
What's an effective way to deal with that reality?
And the sources, they point towards something transformative. The Buddha's own journey, right?
Yeah.
He tried extremes.
You really did. Extreme self-mortification, austerities.
He found out, didn't he? That wasn't the answer.
No. It didn't lead to liberation. It actually weakened him. It got in the way of insight.
Okay.
And that realization was pivotal. It led him to the middle way.
The middle way, right. Acknowledging that, well, you need some level of physical well-being for mental clarity. You can't just starve yourself into enlightenment.
Exactly. You need that foundation, which is crucial for, you know, any kind of recovery process too.
So connecting this back, contemplating the body's impermanence, how does that help?
Well, it helps us figure out what truly matters and, just as importantly, what doesn't.
Okay, like what?
Like getting too attached to the body itself, as one source puts it really powerfully. Then what of this short-lasting body sustained by clinging is I or mine or what I am? And the answer it gives is just, it has here only a no.
A no, that sounds stark.
It sounds like self-negation, maybe.
But
yeah. It's not really meant like that. It's more about listening our grip on what's always changing anyway.
But trying to hold water.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. The tighter you squeeze, the faster it slips away. It's about seeing our physical form, our sensations, even intense ones, as temporary, transient, and ever-changing.
Okay, so let's bring this home for the listener. Especially thinking about the RAFT framework, about recovery, what's the practical takeaway?
Well, think about cravings. Or withdrawal symptoms, intense physical sensations.
That's definitely all-consuming sometimes.
If you realize, truly realize, that these sensations are temporary, that they will change, that they will pass, you can observe them without getting swept away, without identifying with them completely.
Ah, so you create some space.
Exactly. A space between the sensation and your reaction. You don't have to react to that illusion of needing a permanent high or permanent relief right now. You understand the feeling itself is fleeting.
So you disarm the compulsion a bit by seeing its temporary nature.
You got it. And accepting this impermanence, it doesn't lead to despair. That's the key.
Right.
It's not nihilistic.
Right. It actually leads somewhere else.
Yeah. Towards recognizing that life, because it's fragile, is also incredibly precious.
Mm.
Full of possibilities. Like Mary Oliver's famous line, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
That poem.
This whole perspective frees us, really. Frees us from chasing something permanent that, well, just isn't there. Abandoning that craving for what's ultimately fleeting.
And the RAFT framework itself, it really emphasizes this possibility.
It does. It says, freedom from the struggle and stress of addictions and compulsions is possible here and now. It's about building that inner capacity.
So this deep dive, it really shows that accepting the body's impermanence isn't like some morbid philosophical endpoint.
Not at all.
It's a tool, a powerful tool for wisdom, for liberation, especially on a recovery path. It lets you be aware of your struggles, maybe with more compassion, without that harsh self-judgment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Making peace with the constant ebb and flow of experience, including your own body's experience.
So the question for you listening is, what will your relationship with this idea be? With your own body's impermanence moving forward, will you lean into this wisdom, use it to live that one wild and precious life, maybe more fully embracing the changes, or shy away? It's a profound truth, but maybe a challenging one.
And the choice, and always, is yours.